harus menjadi kemenangan untuk seluruh rakyat Indonesia.
Indonesia has had an election, and the likely next president is Prabowo Subianto, a politician, leader, and former general with a checkered past. He's suspected of human rights violations, has run for presidency twice before, and in 2019 lost to his rival Jokowi and incited a riot amongst his supporters. Despite all this, they have put their rivalry aside. Prabowo served as Jokowi's defence minister and gained his backing for this election, even naming Jokowi's son his VP running mate. While his background is controversial, he has years of experience in defence and foreign policy and can be bold and vocal with his ideas. An example are the statements made at the 2023 Shangri-La Dialogue, presenting his solution to the Russian invasion of the Ukraine.
What happens in Ukraine affects the livelihood of all the peoples of the world. The price of energy has gone up. The price of food has gone up. This has resulted in much suffering. Therefore, I would like to put forward the proposition that is not out of context for us to try to contribute to the resolution of the Ukraine-Russia conflict. I therefore would like to take this opportunity to urge, to recommend with utmost urgency for our brothers in Ukraine and in Russia to come as soon as possible to a cessation of hostilities.
Prabowo proposed a ceasefire, a demilitarized zone, and a referendum in the disputed territories. He even went so far as to volunteer Indonesia's services in this effort.
Let us not here put blame on any side. There are always two versions to any conflict. Both sides feel strongly of their righteousness. But for the security of the world, for the safety of the innocent, we have to achieve cessation of hostilities as soon as possible.
This is Asia Rising, a podcast from La Trobe Asia at La Trobe University. I'm your host, Matt Smith, and while Prabowo's proposal was later walked back, explained, clarified, and quietly shelved, there are many who will be watching his presidency with interest, especially his decisions in foreign affairs. My guest today, Dr. Lena Alexandra, is one such person. She's the head of the Department of International Relations at the Center for Strategic and International Studies based in Jakarta. She began this interview with her thoughts about the recent election and Prabowo's apparent win, which has been an interesting time for Indonesia.
Well, I think, first of all, of course, it is quite an unprecedented election that we have had so far, because it happened to be at the same time, you know, the presidential election, the legislative for the parliament, you know, to elect for the parliament members as well as the local parliament as well. And many, you know, quite anxious, you know, about the process itself, because it's, you know, really need a lot of resources, you know, as we experienced before, a lot of officers for the election commissions actually, you know, collapse because they are just too tired. Mm. In that sense, you know, we are quite worried. But I think in terms of the substance itself, certainly this is another, you know, indication of our democratic process to some extent. And then with the result, I think it really depends on, you know, how the incumbent president really, you know, put his card, basically. And then we can see, you know, Jokowi, toward, you know, the D-Day itself, really showed who actually he is in favor, really. And then as we can see now, the results really, you know, the victory for Prabowo and his son.
Yes.
And of course, there's a lot of dynamics inside the country because there's a lot of fraud in terms of the process itself. So now we are waiting for the, you know, the formal result to be announced by the election commission.
Yeah, but as far as you're concerned, do you believe that it's a foregone? It will be Prabowo who wins?
I think so. The result is not going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're an expert in the international relations then of Indonesia. So I was hoping in this interview to get a sense of how you think international relations are going to go going forward into the new presidency and how you think things might change. Indonesia is currently expected to grow in the future decades, and many candidates spoke of how they wish to encourage the growth. So how do you think Prabowo will achieve those ambitions? What do you think will happen in that area?
Well, thank you. I think the ambition will be definitely there, because I think Prabowo, since he joined the competition, already clearly mentioned that he would like to continue the legacy of President Jokowi. He doesn't want to take a different direction, you know, a different policy in terms of how he would bring the country, you know. So definitely the ambition is there. But if I may relate directly to his foreign policy style, you know, it seems to be he will take a different style, because as you can see from his personality, quite outspoken, you know, in terms of foreign policy, in terms of foreign affairs, to comment on foreign affairs issue. I think he's quite confident. I think it is clear that he believes that this is the thing that he's good at. So he's not going to be reluctant to make comments about international relations issues, defense issue, definitely. So I think this will be a different personality compared to President Jokowi. Mm. So we'll see an Indonesian president that really, you know, come forward to make statements, even to participate in different international forums, regional forums, and so on and so forth. But of course, we need to wait and see in terms of the substance itself. It is very important for him to have a quite solid foreign policy team, how he would select the foreign minister, the next foreign minister, as well as his advisors for foreign policy issues surrounding him. That's something that we need to wait and see.
Okay. Do you think that he has the leadership style where he'll be taking a lot of advice from such a team? He very much seems independent and sometimes off the cuff, where you just speak without a lot of planning behind it.
Yes. To be frank, I think that's something that we are quite worried about, you know, whether he would be someone who's quite a listener or having conversation with different stakeholders, I might say, especially with the think tank experts and so on and so forth. But I think, yes, to some extent, I think, as you see, he's quite independent, but definitely I think he will aware, because of the magnitude of the challenges that Indonesia is facing currently in terms of the great powers rivalries, in terms of other security issues like the critical minerals acquisition, things like that. I think at some point he will be aware that he will need to listen stakeholders, definitely, in order to really build up solid policies.
Okay. And do you think that he's going to be the sort of leader who has the luxury of time to settle into the new job? It seems to be a very busy time in the Asian region at the moment. There seems to be a lot of power contestation. There's a lot of anxiety about China at times. Indonesia does have some sort of interactions with most countries within Asia. So do you think that he's going to have time to get used to it all, or do you think he's going to need to engage quite quickly with the region?
I think looking at the huge coalition that he has now, he will seek for that luxury time to solidify, you know, to consolidate its power, basically, to share the cakes with the other political parties and so on and so forth, the political actors. But as you rightly mentioned, I think the challenges that we face might not give him too much luxury time, as he will have to jump immediately when something, you know, going on in the region. Now we are seeing, you know, another clash happening between Philippines and China at the sea, and other issues as well. We are quite concerned about the development in the cross-strait relations between China and Taiwan, which at some point will impact on the regional stability and security. So if something just flare up, basically, there is no time for the new administration to really respond very quickly.
Okay. What are you got your eye on in the region that you think Indonesia might need to respond to in the near future?
Definitely, you know, the escalation of the tension in South China Sea, as well as the cross-strait relations. I think that's something that we really worry, because up until now, as you see, you know, the code of conduct has not been established, you know. There is no set of regulation or rules to regulate if certain incidents happen, you know, to avoid it to be escalated into, you know, an open armed conflict. We don't have that kind of set of regulations to refer to.
Yeah.
And that's very dangerous to some extent.
Yeah. Can we talk about Prabowo and the relationship that he could have with different countries. Do you get a sense of which countries he would favour working with on the global stage? Is he going to seek out closer relationships with, say, the US and their allies? Or do you believe that he's going to want more engagement with China? What sort of leader do you think he's going to be? And what sort of countries do you think he's going to favour?
Well, I think going back to my earlier point, you know, that he would like to continue the legacy of the incumbent president, Jokowi. So I think the standpoint, the position that Prabowo is taking is going to try to put Indonesia to be still, you know, having an independent, so-called independent stance toward the great powers, because we don't want to rush to change the balance. And I think he's quite aware of the perception that Indonesia currently is tilting more toward China. I think he's quite cautious in that. And the fact that he's a military guy, you know, basically he has a military background, he's been educated in the US and so on and so forth. And in the military sense, I think, you know, long-term relations with the US in terms of how we purchase military equipment from the US. So I think in that sense, we want to balance the relations with all these great powers. And the fact that, you know, the Prime Minister Albanese is one of the first leaders that congratulate Prabowo, I think there might be some positive future in terms of the relations between Indonesia and Australia.
Okay, what about the US is potentially impending a change in presidency towards the end of the year? They've got their election coming up and it looks like it's going to be an election between Biden and Trump. Do you think, given leadership styles, that he would have a preferred winner in that race?
No, I think we stay neutral. I mean, like, this is the US election. This is something that within the realm of domestic affairs of the US, I don't think Indonesia have a say on that.
No, but in the realm of, you know, interacting with a foreign leader one-on-one, different leadership styles, do you think that he'd be out playing golf with Trump if given the chance? Or do you think he'd be having ice cream with Biden?
I cannot really tell at this stage. I think he will just adapt just to the situation with whatever result from the US election. I think he would see the bigger picture, you know, about our interest of engaging with the US. So he will have to adapt with whomever will be elected as the next US president, I think.
Yeah. I found it interesting during the election that he emphasized his softer side. He turned up in casual shirts and he appealed to the younger crowd and he had a Pixar-style animation of him. At the same time, he's the kind of leader who has human rights concerns. There was a time when he was banned from entry to the United States and to Australia, for example, and the engagement became very tough. Do you think that that kind of background, that personal history, is going to impact at all on his ability or his reputation on the global stage as a leader?
You can never delete history, right? It's always there. And exactly because of that reason, he's trying to portray himself as someone more lovable, closer to the younger generation, you know, as especially in through the cartoon, you know, image that is being published during the campaign season. Just trying to portray himself to be someone not as fierce as according to the history. Definitely, I think that the note will be still there. You know, some countries will, certain governments still, you know, put a mark on that. But of course, you know, as we know, the presidential status might change, you know. This is a status that is different to just ordinary people, basically. Well, the note is still there. I think certain government might treat it, handle with care about his status.
Handle with care, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
But at the same time, it's not really going to stop engagement between countries, is it?
Yeah, I think that will be a different thing, except, you know, if, I don't know, the result of the US election will bring someone who's, you know, very critical toward the human rights records of Indonesia, that might become the issue. But I think within the current context where, you know, countries trying to seek alliances to pursue economic growth and so on and so forth, I think that kind of issue might be quite sidelined to some extent. Because the agenda about how we should shape our foreign policy, Indonesian foreign policy, is a long-term homework, basically. Regardless of who become the president, we always have the agenda on how we can enhance, you know, lift up our foreign policy to really reflect our identity as a big nation, as a big country, you know, with a lot of potential, but still punching below the weight. So regardless who's the president, the agenda is always there.
How about then for Indonesia as a whole? You said that a lot of it's going to remain because Prabowo is going to try and continue Jokowi's legacy.
Mm.
But engagement with China, for example, do you think that that's going to change?
In terms of engagement with China, I think we will just continue whatever commitments that we have. It really depends on the dynamics itself, you know. But the point, I think Prabowo is someone who can speak quite frankly.
Yeah.
If something happened in terms of the relations with China. Let's see. I cannot really comment at this moment, you know. And as well as in ASEAN, if he maintained his style, you know, of being frank, you know, outspoken, things like that, you know, the way Indonesia, you know, trying to regain its leadership, you know, to restore its leadership in the association, I think this is something that we would like to see.
Mm.
Not to really, you know, put ourselves as a big guy in the room, but certainly to really boost ASEAN performance, to really make it a relevant, united, resilient organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see.
Okay. Yeah. All right. One thing that I found interesting about Prabowo is he came up with a suggestion, a proposition on how to resolve or adjudicate between Russia and the Ukraine. Do you believe that that's the kind of worldwide issue that he's going to try and inject himself into? Or was that kind of thing all just election speak, do you think?
I don't think this is something that he wants to invest in. I think it's off the cuff, you know, comment at that time in the Shangri-La dialogue. It's not something that he really, you know, think carefully, plan for it, you know. I don't think so. Certainly, this is something that we need to monitor, you know, if not only to Prabowo, whoever the president is. I think if you really is serious with this kind of, you know, role, this is something that you need to really build and plan, you know, have a very good preparation, basically. It's not just suddenly out of nowhere, you just suddenly say, okay, I want to do this and that and that.
Mm.
Right? So back to your question, I think this is not something that he like really seriously invest in. It's
okay.
Just a question, and then he needs just to respond to show that he kind of know the answer.
Yeah.
But it's not really prepared for that.
Yeah.
That is Dr. Lena Alexandra, head of the Department of International Relations at the Center for Strategic and International Studies based in Jakarta. And you have been listening to Asia Rising. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to it, send a link to your friends, or leave a review. You can follow La Trobe Asia on LinkedIn or what is left of Twitter. We are at La Trobe Asia, and Lena Alexandra is at Kuni Wawa. Asia Rising is a podcast from La Trobe Asia, produced at La Trobe University in Melbourne, Australia, on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. I'm Matt Smith. You've been fantastic, and thanks for listening.